Welcome to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. It's our desire to see you cross over into God's plan for your life through the teaching of His Word. Coming up on Crossover Radio, Pastor Eric is continuing verse by verse through the book of Revelation. So join us as we pick up in chapter 18, verse 5, and here's Pastor Eric.
And how many Christians are way over their heads in debt because they got their eyes off of the Lord and they got involved in things that weren't of the Lord, and now they're in bondage. And so God cares. God cares. And here we have the exhortation, come out of her, my people, lest you share her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven. Interesting, the same type of phraseology is used concerning Sodom. The idea is that like a glass being filled with water and then finally coming to the brim and overflowing. You know, there's a point at which our sins accumulate to such an extent that they finally reach heaven and God decides to take action. And that's what is happening here against this last day's economic system. And you're going to see why as we look at the list of her sins as we make our way through. So, her sins have reached to heaven. God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. And the cup with which she has mixed for her double. This seems to be the angel responding back to the Lord, making this request. In the measure that she glorified herself, verse 7, lived luxuriously. I think the King James says lived deliciously. I think that's funny. In the same measure, give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen, I am no widow, and I will see no sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death, famine, and mourning. Notice the pride. I call this Babylon's proud look. Notice that it says in verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself. So this economic system, the people that are involved within it, the gifted businessmen, the skilled craftsmen, instead of using their skills and their talents and their crafts to glorify the Lord, what have they done? They've glorified themselves and gathered themselves into the city of economic power, and they're glorifying themselves, and thus the city is being raised up on high. Reminds me a little bit of the city of Babel. In the measure that she glorified herself, lived luxuriously, taking no thought to the things of the Lord, but only pleasing themselves. In the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen. I am no widow and will see no sorrow. Notice, therefore her plagues will come. You see, this is Babylon's proud look. She has glorified herself. She lives in luxury. She says, I'm no widow. I sit as a queen. I will never see sorrow. She's trusting in her wealth, and she's trusting in her abilities. She's trusting in her financial security. It says, therefore, her plagues will come in one day. It says in the Proverbs, six things the Lord hates. Yes, for seven are abomination to him. You know what's at the top of his list? A proud look. Babylon is proud. She is self-sufficient, living in luxury, and God will judge her on account of her pride. It says in Isaiah chapter 2, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The scripture says in 1 Peter that God resists the proud. 1 Peter 5:5, while giving grace to the humble. Therefore, her plagues will come, verse 8, in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. Notice, for strong is the Lord who judges her. That which has raised itself up in pride and in arrogance against God, God will bring down. And so we as Christians, we need to keep our priorities on the Lord. And we need to put Him first. And we should resist the temptation to live luxuriously if it means putting the Lord second. We need to resist the temptation of amassing wealth and financial security if it means putting the Lord second. We need to put the Lord first. Has God given you riches? Has God given you wealth? Has God given you enough that you're able to move some of your finances into savings? Then put Him first. Honor Him. Glorify Him. Rather than trusting in your own financial security, because we're going to see here, in 1 hour, such riches have come to nothing. For strong is the Lord who judges her. And God says, come out from among them. Don't want to see you a part of it. Don't want to see you share in her sins. Certainly don't want you to see. Don't want to see you share in her plagues. Now, beginning in verse 9, through the end of the chapter, we really have lamentations from three different groups of people. In verses 9 and 10, you have the kings of the earth weeping and lamenting. This has caused tremendous economic disaster. Then in verses 11 through 16, you have the merchants of the earth. And then finally, in verses 17 through 24, you have the shipmasters. Actually, 17 through 19, you have those who do trade on the sea by ships, mourning over her collapse. So verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Notice the disassociation that the kings have, standing at a distance. Your judgment has come. No, it's God's judgment upon you too. Because the kings of the earth committed unfaithfulness to God in connecting themselves to the way this economic system made money. You know, the way people make money is it changes. It doesn't change for people like you and me. You know, we go out, we punch a time clock, and we work a day's, you know, work, and we get a wage. That never changes. But for people that have money, ways of making money often change. And people come up with new ways, and new laws are passed that you can do certain things with your money. People can get on board with you, and you can make more money, and ways of making money change. It could be that there's going to be extremely intelligent person is going to develop a new way of making money that appeals to the rich. And many times these ways are immoral. And the kings of the earth will buy in. It'll be their way to bail their country out. And the earth will commit unfaithfulness to God, exalting the God of Mammon. The kings are the first to lament because it means economic disaster for the world, the economy of the world crashing. So the kings stand afar off saying, alas, alas, for in 1 hour your judgment is come. Then the merchants, it's sort of the longest section, verse 11. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Notice how self-centered it all is. Merchandise, now we begin with the jewelry, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, and the pearls. Then the clothing, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet. Then to material objects such as citron wood and every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood and bronze, iron and marble. Think about how many of these things are in your house. Then he moves to sort of the perfumers, the cinnamon, the incense, the fragrant oil, the frankincense, then the luxury items of wine and oil, then the food items of fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, then the automobiles, the chariots. So you can see how diversified Babylon is. Whether it deals with precious metals, stones, hey, we got it. It deals with clothing, fine linen, hey, we got it. All the designers are here. If it comes to things like building materials and the finest of the fine, hey, we've got it. You don't need to go anywhere else. You know, it's kind of like an advertisement almost for, you know, Home Depot or Lowe's. You know, you don't need to go anywhere else. You come here. You get everything you need for your house type of thing. And so Babylon has it all. It ends the list with something very interesting to me. The end of verse 13 speaks of bodies and souls of men. Now, to the original hearers of this, this would obviously be a reference to the slave trade, wouldn't it? And I do believe that Babylon will be involved in this. They will be involved in the selling of human beings. Even in, you know, today, people are being stolen out of their cities. Usually they're young girls, and they're stolen out of their cities, or they're drawn out of their cities. And then they're enslaved and sold to evil men, really, who run prostitution rings and things like that. So bodies and souls of men ending up the list. And I think about the implications of this in our culture. Buying a body, you can almost do that now, can't you? With the technology of cloning and how cloning, people want to advance the technology of cloning. Hey, you might be able to go to Babylon and get a body if you need it. Well, why would I need it? Well, maybe there are parts of your body that are breaking down and you can harvest out of the clone. Sounds wicked. It is wicked. But it's happening even now. Of course, not with clones, but I have a couple articles here. China's army harvesting body parts from live prisoners. This is a real thing. So, communist China, when the army would have certain prisoners, what they would do is they would take their body parts from these live people. Maybe they'd take a kidney, and then they would sell it to the hospitals so that they could do a kidney transplant. They were harvesting organs from live people. That's crazy. But it's happening in the day in which we live. Freaky. And it says here in Babylon, and this could be a reference, that the day is coming that you can buy in Babylon bodies and souls of men. Probably direct reference to buying a slave, buying a human being, but the implications are reaching beyond that. So maybe you don't like to hear about all of the judgments in Revelation, but you know what? When you put it against this type of background, the judgments are I like it. I like hearing about the judgments. You know, we think about our Disneyland life. Oh, everything's good. My grass is green. The sun is shining. And then I got to go to church and hear about God judging. You know what? That's because you live in a place of the world that is not going through a lot of hardship and suffering. But there is extreme wickedness that is out there, and there are many people that are suffering under it. And the Bible teaches that God is going to judge these systems. He's going to crush them, and then he's going to come in and set up his kingdom. And all those who have followed him and have suffered on account of being called by his name and have been pushed down economically or have suffered various hardships, God is going to bless them and God is going to raise them up and God is giving them a future and a hope. Verse 14 says, "And the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all." The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple, scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, such great riches have come to nothing." I like this. In 1 hour, such great riches have come to nothing. Jesus asked this question: what will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Because in 1 hour, such great riches can come to nothing. Jesus told the parable of a man who was prospering in business. He was prospering in business. He had enough to get a large savings account going. He says, "Man, I got to pull down my barns. I got to build new barns so that I can fit all of my stuff in so I can have an early retirement." Jesus in the parable said, "You fool, you do not know that this night your soul will be required of you." And so let's not be fooled by this, by the economic system and the hope of satisfaction in economic pursuits. Maybe we say, "Well, I'll amass wealth, I'll build big barns, I will fill them, and then I'll serve the Lord once my barns are full." Jesus would say, "You fool, because you don't know when your soul is going to be required of you. And then what will you do with all this wealth that you built up for yourself?" Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. For in 1 hour such riches have come to nothing," verse 17. "And every shipmaster," so we come now to the third group, "and every shipmaster and all who traveled by ship, sailors and as many as trade on the sea, they stood at a distance, and they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?'" Now, just on a technical note, notice that the shipmasters are able to view the smoke of her burning. It would seem that Babylon is, in fact, a port city, which would remove it from the rebuilding of ancient Babylon and move it to some place more that is a port city, perhaps there in Rome, there being ports close to Rome. So every shipmaster and all traveled by ship, sailor and as many as trade on the sea, they stood at a distance and they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What is like this great city?" They threw dust on their heads and they cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth." For they picked up merchandise and they exported from Babylon. And they declare, "For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice," verse 20, "over her, O heavens, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." God has avenged you on her. The NIV renders it, "God has judged her for the way that she has treated you." I like that translation. God has judged her for the way that she has treated you. "Then a mighty angel took up a millstone," "he took up a stone like a great millstone." This is a sermon illustration on account of the angel. "And he threw it into the sea, saying, 'Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore.' The sound of the harpists, the musicians, the flutists, the trumpeters shall not be heard anymore." Listen. You're like this bad musician, you know? It's like you got it going on. Babylon is the place. Nightlife in Babylon. Babylon rocks. You can see anybody in Babylon. But you know what? These musicians, they use their gifts and their talents to glorify themselves. And in 1 hour, their glory is gone and it is over. "And no craftsmen of any craft shall be found in you anymore." You know what? You want to find things just like tricked out, you go to Babylon. Everything is trick in Babylon. It's cutting edge. It's happening there before it's happening anywhere else. It's got to be shipped out of Babylon. The people who get it after it's left Babylon are getting it secondarily. You go to Babylon, you find the trickiest stuff, hot off the market. That's where the chief craftsmen are. But you know what? These chief craftsmen, they did it for their own glory. They did it for their own fame. They did it for their own popularity and wealth. They did not use their crafts to serve the Lord, and God pulled the plug. In 1 hour, it's all gone. The craftsmen are left with nothing. The sound of the millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. The word anymore is used 6 times in this paragraph. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, the elite, the powerful. The great men of the earth were your merchants. And by your sorcery, all nations were deceived. They bought in to the lie that things can make you happy. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and saints and of all who were slain upon the earth. Listen, these people wanted economic prosperity, and no one was going to stand in their way. And you know what? It's like this in business today. People are taken out because of those who are greedy for gain, those who know of corruption, and perhaps they might blow the whistle. Hey, they just take them out. And God sees, and God knows. And one day, God is going to visit punishment back upon their own heads. So I think the application for us as believers is simple. We need to come out from among them. If we're an employer, we need to treat our employees fairly. We need to pay them right. We need to not cut corners in business. We need to serve the Lord and walk in honesty and integrity. We need to not get caught up in economic prosperity and overextend ourselves beyond the sphere that God has given to us. We need to pray and exercise self-restraint. We need to live moderately. And we need to put God first. God has blessed us. And what we return back to the Lord by way of offering Him a portion of the gifts that He has blessed us with, we need to keep Him first. We need to keep Him first. You know, and just as a challenge, just as a direct challenge, in case you hadn't, you know, you haven't got the wind knocked out of you yet this morning, I mean, let's just do it now. You know, of all the prosperity that God gives you economically, what percentage do you give back to Him? Is it half of 1%? Seriously, is that putting God first? You say, oh, I'm offended now. Okay, you can give at another church. You know what I mean? I'll tell you the truth here. You can go and apply it somewhere else. Okay, because there's no ulterior motive here. And you know how much we downplay the issue of giving here at church. But we're dealing with the attitudes of the heart here. Yeah, I would just encourage you, think about it. How much are you serving the Lord with your finances? I know for many of us in these days, things are super tight. And you know, it's not about how much. It's about, Lord, am I honoring You? Is there a legitimate honoring of You with my finances? That's all. And can I do it joyfully? Or am I all just bent out of shape? Ugh. God's not into you giving Him anything with a bad attitude. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the bottom line is not finances. The bottom line is the heart. Amen? Is He honored with our gifts? Is He honored with our talents? Is He honored with our life? Is He honored in our worship? Is He honored in our giving? Is He honored in our service? Do we honor Him? Is He first in our life?
You've been listening to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. If you're interested in hearing this message again, go to our website, crossoverradioministry.com, or call us at 949-705-9272. We'd like to make available to you Pastor Eric's teaching outlines from the book of Revelation. If you'd like a copy of Pastor Eric's teaching outlines from today's study, it's available at our website, crossoverradioministry.com. And while you're there, send us an email to let us know you're listening at crossoverradioministry@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to write, you can do so at P.O. Box 1673, Brea, California, 92821. Be sure to include the call letters of this station so we know where our radio ministry is being effective. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time on Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble. Have you ever wondered where the Bible came from? Well, if so, Pastor Eric Tribble has just released a new ebook entitled How We Got Our Bible. In this book, Pastor Eric covers topics such as how the Old and New Testaments were developed, how we can know that the Bible is truly from God, who decided what books would be in the Bible, why there's so many translations, and much more. You can read a sample of How We Got Our Bible and purchase this ebook for under a dollar by going to crossoveroc.com. That's crossoveroc.com.